That's my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Kids, we're back with another Answer of the Week. It is your favorite show on the internet. It's my favorite show, mainly because you do all the work, and that's why I love it. Here's how it works. My friend, Joe Patrick. Say hi, Joe.
It's me, Joe Patrick.
He's the other host of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. My name's Matt Baum. I'm the announcer you love to hate. I'm sure you all know me. Each week, Joe Patrick posts a question of the week on the Two-Headed Nerd forums. You can go there and you can write to your heart's extent with your answer, and we love it when you do, but it's also fun when you call us at the Ziggurat Hotline, 402-819-4894. You can find that phone number on our website, twoheadednerd.com, as well. And leave us a message. You can also send us an email with an MP3 answering your question. And that is what we are going to do here today. But before we get started, Joe Patrick, I need to know what we asked these nerds.
All I can see is your beard, and it's driving me crazy.
Too bad. You may notice that Joe Patrick is reaching us via satellite. It was a rough weekend. I had to go watch Nebraska lose as part of my anniversary present for my bitch wife. What can you do? You know,
that's how you know your marriage is on solid ground.
She bought us tickets. She bought me tickets, told me to take a friend, and we got our butts kicked. Thanks a lot, baby.
This week's question came courtesy of Lord Stephen Fino, our master of coin.
Love that guy.
Who wants to know, what is your favorite appearance by a major character in a fringe title? For example, Steven chose the issue of Hitman where Superman appears and talks to Tommy Monahan on the roof. Yeah, what's the name of this Tommy's neighborhood? Not Suicide Slum.
It's been too long.
Yeah. Anyway, Steven's going to talk about it because he called in.
Okay. That sounds great. First and foremost, let's get back to Randy Andrews. I believe Randy was one of our very first callers, and we treasure him on the show. He's a special boy. I think he was. He was the very first person to answer a question, right?
Well, he was the very first person to answer this week's question.
Okay, no, but I mean like when we started, I feel like he was one of our very first. Point being, if you didn't call in,
who can remember?
Randy Andrews has gigantic brass balls and you don't. Let's see what he's got for us.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. This week you asked, who is your favorite cameo out of a comic? Well, guys, I gotta say, my favorite cameo would have to be Deathhead in any capacity that he usually is in. I really liked the most recent effect of that with the Iron Man, Nova, and Uncanny X-Men that did a 3-issue run. And it was just really fun to see Deathhead show up in that comic. And then I've seen him in other comics that he's just hilarious, and I just love it when he shows up in an unusual comic that nobody would think that he would be in. So anyway, that's my pick, guys. Hope you like it. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.blogspot.com. And this week, my music is from Doctor Who Season 5, I Am the Doctor. Well, that's it, guys, and have a good night. Bye for now.
Randy Andrews loves it when Death's Head shows up. Now, maybe we could stretch the question a little bit to just say that's his idea of a major character. That's fine.
That could be.
I'm fine with that. It's sort of the other end of the question, and I'll take it.
Randy essentially picked his favorite fringe guest star in a major title.
That's fine. He just went the other way with it. It's your show, guys. You're in charge. I like it. I loved that 3 issues of Iron Man with Death's Head showing up. It was fantastic. Death's Head was like 12 feet tall and unstoppable. He was great.
Yeah. I didn't read that 3-part. They did those 3 specials with Nova, Iron Man, and Uncanny X-Men. I didn't read that. I'll have to check it out.
It was really good. It was really good. Hmm. Next, we go to the voicemail. I don't have the slightest clue who this is.
Yeah, this is Jerry. I was calling about mold inspection. My number is 402.
That's Jerry with a wrong number.
He was calling about the mold inspection.
Calling us about our yearly ziggurat mold inspection. Thanks, Jerry. We'll get back to you.
First time. Our first ever wrong number.
First wrong number. You guys heard it. We're making history here. I love it. Let's get to Lord Stephen, the man who gave us the question. Hit us, Lord Stephen. He's getting really good at this.
Hello, this is Lord Stephen, Master of Coins, sending in my answer to the question of the week. You all already know my answer. It's Hitman 34. Now, for those who don't know Hitman, it is the story of Tommy Monahan. He's a hitman living in Gotham City. It's a series by Garth Ennis, has all the typical Garth Ennis stuff to it. There's rape jokes, dirty things. A fat Hispanic guy named Bueno Excelente date rapes Kyle Rayner at one point. But this issue, and I do love Hitman, I should say. It is a really good series. But this issue is just something just extremely special. This is, the entire plot is Hitman, Tommy Monahan is on the roof of a building in Gotham. He's out doing a job. And just Superman is standing there, and then they have a conversation. It was just the entire issue. Superman failed to save a guy. He was in space. There was a satellite going down, and he could not get everyone in time. He failed to save one person, and it just completely disappointed in himself. And Tommy Monahan just talks to him, and this is, says just how much Superman means to the people who live in the DC universe, just what he means as a character. A couple weeks back, there was the Ask a Nerd segment about if Superman is broken as a character, and this issue is just everything that should be about, that should exist about Superman. This is the pinnacle of what Superman should be. You see him as the ideal of what an American should be, of what a hero is. You see him as a man who has this phenomenal power, but he came to help people. He came to be the hero that he needed to be, and he's a hero because of the people. He's a hero because of where he was raised and how he was raised, instead of just because he had all this power. And it's just a fantastic issue, and I highly recommend it. It's easily my favorite issue of a Superman story ever. So that's my question. That's my answer and my question. So see ya. Bye.
Superman. Pardon me. Hellblazer. Hitman 34. I was looking up Hellblazer stuff. Hitman 34. When Superman shows up, it was hilarious.
Yeah, that was awesome. And I'm gonna give a spoiler for the end of that issue. Correct me if I'm wrong, but after Superman flies away, after having their heart to heart, and Superman flies away, encouraged, doesn't Tommy then immediately assassinate somebody?
Yes, he instantly kills someone. You're like,
yeah, but
he has this moment where he's just like, you know what?
Yeah, he's like,
that guy's right. Like, he's all right. Yeah. You know, like, I thought he was kind of a jackass, but you know what? I see why everybody loves him. Murder.
Murder. Right. Yeah. The Cauldron. That was the name of Tommy's neighborhood.
Okay. Let's go back to the voicemail. We're getting a call from 352. That means it's Florida. That means I think you know who this is.
Oh my gosh. I'm so... Hi there, THN. Hi, Joe. Hi, Matt. Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. Seriously. Okay. Focus. Master of Coins, seriously, oh my god, this question was so hard for me. I mean, seriously, guys, I'm not very fringe. I don't read fringy things, but it was difficult. But I came up with something, you know, and I think this answer is unique. I think this thing's very fringe. It was made by mainstream, had mainstream characters in it, but was completely out of the mainstream, and literally had fringe down every issue. What I'm thinking of came out by DC. It's called Wednesday Comics. This came out. It was actually printed on newsprint. The artists and writers were all different from different stories they'd done in the past, and they could pick a character and do whatever they wanted to with that character. They had complete freedom. The stories were amazing. The art was beautiful. And there's one particular story that I'm thinking of, and it was Supergirl. It was Supergirl starring her, Streaky, and Krypto. It was a very cute story, very warm. But the character's appearance within it was Aquaman. This was amazing because if you think about it, Aquaman not only is the hero to us on the surface world, but he's also the hero to all marine life because he can communicate with all marine life. And if you think about how much marine there is when the globe is covered 70% by water, that's a lot of responsibility. I mean, Aquaman would be a very busy man. The writing by it was amazing by Jeannie Palmiotti, and the art by Amanda Connor was just gorgeous. This easily on newsprint was just so fringe and so amazing, and that's my favorite appearance by Aquaman ever anywhere. So that's my answer. Matt, listen, let's have a little talk here, okay? I'm a first-time caller, and I'm a long time, okay? I've heard you make your little jokes here and there. You're very witty, very cute. Okay, Matt, I'm not disparaging that. Listen, I think you're coming for something up with your jokes about unrequited man love. Okay, you don't need a joke anymore, Matthew. I'm here. All right, you can let down your barriers. You can open up to your true feelings, Matt. Okay, listen, Matt. We don't have to start, you know, with slamming a summer sausage into a buttermilk biscuit. No, Matt, wow. We don't have to go there right off the bat, okay? Just let down your feelings, be open. You don't need to joke about it anymore. Accept it, Matt, okay? Listen, we don't have to start with a Dirty Sanchez or a Santorum, okay? That can happen much later, Matthew, all right? We'll take our time. Maybe we'll just start with a little Greco-Roman Vaseline wrestling. You know, just something simple, Matthew, okay? Or if that's too much, we could just go for a walk on the beach and maybe have some naked sword fights. You know, it's something simple, Matt, all right? Listen, I don't want to push, okay? I'm here for you. Just to maybe a simple little tickle pickle fight will be fine, okay, Matthew? All right. Be open, Matthew.
First time, long time, inviting me for what he thinks might be my first homoerotic encounter. I have bad news.
But probably the first time you've been propositioned on the show.
First time propositioned on the show. Yes. I was just propositioned at the gym not too long ago. It was crazy. But I was like, man, I must look pretty good. I'll take that. Yeah, right on. First time, long time. Wednesday Comics, Supergirl story with Aquaman. I don't distinctly remember that one, but I remember I really liked Wednesday Comics.
Yeah, the Supergirl story was really good. It was Jimmy Palmiotti, Amanda Connor. I mean, it's as good as you would expect by those creators.
Yeah.
It's a fun story. Streaky the Super Cat.
I mean, come on.
Good time.
Everybody loves Streaky. Thank you very much. First time, long time. Always good to hear from you. And I will keep your offer in mind. I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
It's good for the ego.
It is. We go back to the voicemail. This is another one from right around here.
Hello, gentle nerds and... lady, this is Elise Wisdom calling in with my answer to the question, what is your favorite comic cameo? I don't think my pick follows the rules exactly, but I don't care. I'm doing it anyway. Cursing ahead, earmuffs. So back in my college days, I decided to binge read Preacher and start on a new comic at the same time. The new comic I was getting into was called Why the Last Man. I was pretty far into Preacher when I picked up Why, and it didn't take me long to get to a certain moment where York shows 355 his lighter. His lighter that says, "F*** communism." The same lighter that John Wayne gives to Jesse Custer's dad in Preacher. The second I saw that, I thought to myself, no f***ing way. It was a wonderfully well-timed meta moment, and I couldn't have been happier to be in on the joke. I hope you guys stay warm this weekend, have some cocoa, snuggle some puddles, and I'll catch you next time. Wisdom out.
Elise, we love your calls. I love how meta that is. That is excellent. And I had the very same experience when reading that. Laughed out loud. It was awesome. By the way, we are not racist at the Bomb House, but we don't raise puggles. Okay? We raise pugs, and we're very proud of them. That's all I'm going to say on that subject. Okay? But yes, that's an awesome answer, yeah. And it totally counts.
Yeah, that's a great answer. That one that would not have occurred to me. For some reason, I don't remember that moment.
I totally
in Why the Last
moment.
Man. I need to reread Why the Last Man.
Apparently. Always good to hear from you, Elise. We love your lady power. Keep it coming. And thank you very much.
Final call.
Yeah, this one went quick. We only had like seven of you guys. Six.
Oh, well, six because of the wrong number.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's concerned and I appreciate him coming over to, you know, check out the mold and the ziggurat. That's good. Thank you, Jerry. Our second nemesis. We have Dr. Carlos Danger and Dr. Buzzard. And if they ever team up, we might be in serious trouble. Let's see what Dr. Buzzard has for us.
Hello, Joe and Matt. It's Dr. Buzzard again. Here to answer your question.
This guy is terrible.
My answer is Marvel Universe versus the Army of Darkness. My reasoning is because you had the glorious Dr. Doom holding Ash in the air. It was a glorious book, and a benevolent Dr. Doom was extraordinary. That's my answer, boys. Ta-ta for now. I'll be watching you.
Jesus Christ! Short and sweet from Dr. Buzzard. God, that guy's terrifying.
He takes a bit of the sting out of it by saying ta-ta for now.
Yes.
But then he brings it right back by saying that he's watching us.
Well, it might also be the same way that like Hannibal Lecter might say ta-ta for now. You know, I mean, that's scary shit. I picture
him, okay,
I picture
sure.
him nude, covered in blood.
Gross.
Taking a break from his extracurricular activities to call us. Good answer. Marvel Universe versus the Army of Darkness. When was
it? Yeah, I mean, I think that totally counts.
It totally counts.
Was it Marvel Universe or Marvel Zombies? Well, either way, it was. They did a crossover a few years ago.
It was Marvel Zombies versus the Army of Darkness.
That's okay. It still counts.
It still counts. Still totally counts. Because it was not Dr. Doom Zombie. It was Dr. Doom that showed up.
Oh, like a live Dr. Doom.
Yeah, it was Dr. Doom. He was not a zombie. Yeah. And it was actually a pretty fun read, if I recall correctly. It was a while ago.
Totally counts.
Totally counts. Favorite call?
My favorite call goes to Lord Steven.
Okay.
Just because, for me, that's also one of my favorite.
And it's one of the best, without a doubt.
Yeah.
That's one of the best.
One of my favorite moments, especially with Superman, handled very perfectly. And like Steven said, it's absolutely the embodiment of what Superman should be.
Yes.
In stark contrast to the David Goyer, Zack Snyder Superman who doesn't care about saving anyone. But yeah, his is my favorite call.
I'm going to go with Elise because I liked how meta hers was.
Yeah, yeah.
The fuck communism lighter. it's an awesome little cameo. And it, like, for some reason, it sort of connects the two stories. I love it. I absolutely love when little moments like that happen. Joe Patrick, I want to hear your answer.
Okay, well, my answer is also about Superman. And it's from the pages of Starman number 75 from DC. A little background. Jack Knight had just returned home or recently returned home from some time travel shenanigans, time travel slash outer space adventures. And while he was on these adventures, he actually he visited Krypton prior to Krypton's destruction and met Jor-El. Like young 20-something Jor-El, Superman's dad. And so he had a chance to kind of get to know Jor-El in a way that Superman never did. The story ended, and then Superman finally comes and talks to Jack about it, you know, wanting some insight about his dad because he only knows his dad from, you know, records and recordings. He never actually got to meet Jor-El, and the version that he met was the adult version, not the young man, you know, the crusading scientist that Jack met. And so Jack had a chance to have this really great moment with Superman to tell him a little bit about his father. And it came out that like Jack was actually the one that gave Jor-El the coordinates for Earth. And it's just a really great story.
Yeah, we found out Superman would have never come to Earth without Starman. It was amazing.
Yeah, I really love that issue. Like, I think you can read those two issues kind of independently of Starman. It's, I think, Starman number 51, which is the Krypton issue, and Starman 75, which is the Superman issue. Just read those as like a two-part thing. It's really great. That's one of my favorite. You know, Superman didn't show up to punch a bad guy or to save Opal City from destruction. He just showed up to talk, much like he did in that Hitman issue. It's one of my favorites.
It was amazing.
Matt, what do you got?
I'm going to go with Hellblazer, number 63. This was the 40th birthday party for John Constantine. Garth Ennis was writing it. Steve Dillon was drawing it. The whole issue was basically a birthday party. They kind of threw a surprise birthday party for him. The Phantom Stranger showed up. Zatanna
showed
up.
Wasn't Kit his sister?
Yeah.
Kit was his sister,
yes.
Right?
Kit was his sister. And they had like a surprise birthday party for him. She was not invited and did not know about it, as far as I remember. The Phantom Stranger came, Zatanna came, most notably the Swamp Thing came and was sort of accidentally invited because they thought the Swamp Thing and John Constantine were friends, but they don't really like each other. And the Swamp Thing was like trying to be super cordial about the whole thing. And John was being kind of a huge jerk about him being there, like behind his back. It's like, who the hell invited him? Like, oh God, I can't stand this guy. So to make it up for him, the Swamp Thing grows marijuana basically out of his body. And
he turns himself into a giant plant.
Pretty much. And plant. Zatanna and the Phantom Stranger and John Constantine all get totally baked. it was so great. And it was, you know, Garth Ennis was writing it. So it was just absolutely ridiculous. It was just a ton of fun. And it's really cool because Hellblazer made his first appearance in Swamp Thing, basically. And at this time, I don't believe there was a Swamp Thing comic book coming out. I don't think there was at that time.
Oh no. Yeah, no, there was.
Was there?
The Swamp Thing ongoing was still going at that time.
Was it in 93?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. I don't recall for certain, but it was just awesome to see Swamp Thing show up in John Constantine's book again. This is both back at the time where they were only in Vertigo characters like Hellblazer, pardon me, like John Constantine, like the Swamp Thing. And even the Phantom Stranger was pretty much back then only in Vertigo books.
Yeah. I mean, he was one of the characters that kind of bounce around.
It was just a wonderful issue. It was very tongue in cheek, and it was a fun, like, drunk birthday party. And it basically ended with John Constantine passing out on Kit's couch and Kit coming home to find her apartment completely trashed. And she's super pissed. Happy 40th birthday, John Constantine. And it has special relevance to me because I will be 40 years old this year.
Oh, buddy.
Yep, I've been thinking about it a lot. I'm going to freak out.
Oh, buddy.
Hoping the Swamp Thing will come and get me high.
Here's hoping. That Swamp Thing ran until 1996.
Who was doing it at that time?
So I feel like that would have been right around the time that Phil Hester was doing it.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Oh, Mark Miller was writing it.
Okay. Mark Miller. Okay.
But that was a couple years later. So 1993, Nancy Collins. I don't know if there was a regular creative team or not. Scott Eaton was the artist.
Like Scott Eaton.
Yeah, I like Scott Eaton too.
Scary stuff he draws.
But certainly the Swamp Thing series kind of wound down not too long after that.
Yeah, it wasn't great, as I recall, at that time. I'm still buying it because I'm a slave to the Swamp Thing. What can you do? But that's my favorite. I absolutely loved it. We only got a few calls this week because I feel like this was a pretty tough question.
I think it was a tough question, yeah. But I liked the question.
That's okay. I liked it too. We separated the wheat from the chaff this week, right?
Yeah, we sure did.
You guys, only the real nerds called in. I like that. Thank you, everybody that called. It's always great to hear from you guys. We want to hear from new callers every week, ideally. If you're thinking about calling us, do it. Don't be a wiener. I promise the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast will be back next week. This week, we had a bunch of stuff going on. It was my 5th anniversary. It was just too crazy. We're getting ready for the holidays and everything. But next week, we're going to be back with a brand new episode, but we're going to premiere the new question of the week right now. We're doing
it. Oh, dang.
We're doing it. Joe Patrick, what is the new question of the week?
This week's question was suggested by a forum user named Tom, who asks, what's your favorite comic book series turnaround? As in, a book that was floundering or going through the motions story-wise, and a new creative team comes on and totally breathes new life into the book. Tom's example, Alan Moore and Steve Bissett coming on to Swamp Thing.
That's a kick-ass example. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a great example. This is a good one. That's going to be fun. I like this one.
I think that'll be fun to talk. I think that'll be fun to talk about.
Absolutely. Guys, girls, it's your show. And without you guys calling in, we don't have one. So call us. Answer the question of the week. Send us an MP3, whatever you want to do. We appreciate it when you do. And we love, love, love first-time callers. Like I said, we'll be back this weekend with a new episode. But for now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off.